A really good word, isn't it? You know that feeling when you've got a child in your arms and they're just absolutely adorable, and you just, something about them that's just so unbelievably lovable about them. And you're not allowed to say yes when they're sleeping either, okay? Just, there's something about people that's just amazing. And I think it's because of what I want to talk about today, which is the fact that all of us, whether we realize it or not, are actually made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God. And that's quite something to think about. And I think that's the secret as to why we are lovable, even Andy and me, is that we're made in the image of God. Now, here is a photograph of two paintings. I don't know what you think of them. I know what I think of these two paintings. Now, the one on the right-hand side there is by a very famous Dutch painter called Rembrandt. And I think that's an amazing painting. I just cannot quite believe that anybody could paint a painting that amazing. It's like a person, isn't it? You just sort of feel the depth of it. And the other one on the other side is a painting of Her Majesty the Queen. Now, if I painted that painting, I'll be completely honest with you, and she said, "May one have a look," I would be a little bit embarrassed about showing it, because I don't really think that's entirely the most pleasant portrait I've ever seen of the Queen. It's an image, isn't it? It's an image of somebody. And we are made to be the image of God. And that's really quite something, isn't it? That we're called to represent God in the world. That's really quite something to think about. And I think when we look at a little one, like when you're looking at Caitlin, obviously part of it is the fact she's just herself, and she's a bit like you, and she's a bit like Jeremy, and maybe you can see like Dad, a little bit of Dad in her, and all the rest, which is great, isn't it? It's great. But I think it's something even deeper than that. I think there's something of the image of God. I think you can see something of God when you look at a little baby. Or when actually, sometimes when we look around, if just look around the room for a minute. Just have a look at the faces, some of the faces around you. Go on, go mad, look around. It won't kill you, all right? It might kill you, depends who you look at. But these people are around, they're made in the image of God. They're made in the image of God. There's something about everybody. There's something about a human being that is remarkable and absolutely unique. And it doesn't matter whether you're a man, doesn't matter whether you're a woman, whether you're a boy or a girl, a little baby girl or a little baby boy, there's something there. There's something there that is just all about God and not about us. Now, that doesn't mean that we are little gods. I'm not trying to say that, although sometimes we behave that way, don't we? That's not what I'm saying. In the same way as that painting, however amazing that painting is of Rembrandt, that isn't Rembrandt, and we know that. There's a big difference, isn't there? God is God, and he's altogether different from us. There's dimensions to him that whatever we show of him is only ever like a representation. But there's something about you. There's something about you. We might push that away. We might not want to think about it. We might be scared of it. But it's just a fact. We're just made in the image of God. And it's a real responsibility as parents, as you're bringing up a child, to nurture that in your daughter. To nurture that in your daughter. And actually, to encourage that in our friendships. To encourage that in our relationships with people. To see that in other people, and to see it brought out in other people. That's a very big part of our responsibilities. I think that's why, in the end, whether we like it or not, or want to admit it or not, and some of us, we want to be hard and tough and don't want to face up, but we're lovely. We're lovely and we're lovable. Because we're made in the image of God, and God is love. So if there's something of that in us, then it will be seen, that'll be shown. And maybe you're thinking in the back of your mind, well, not me, or not so-and-so and so-and-so. If you knew them, they're not like God at all. There's nothing like God there. But at heart, at bottom, there is. When I was a student, I ran out of money. And so what I did was I went out onto the streets in Piccadilly in London, and I sat there on a thing and I said, I'll draw your portrait, because I used to like drawing it. I'll draw your portrait. And I earned a few quid doing portraits of people. And as I was sitting there doing portraits of people coming along, I was really interested, you know, getting the shading right and the colouring and the background. And that's what I was really interested in. But all they wanted to know was, does it look like me? Does it look like me? That was the real thing they wanted to see. It was a good likeness. We have to ask ourselves sometimes, how good a likeness are we of God? How much do I look like God? How much? You know, when you see we've got a bronze plaque on the wall there. Those are all the people from this church back in the First World War who were killed during the First World War. And sometimes, this because of the 100 years since the war, people have been going around shining these plaques up, because they've, over the 100 years, they get more and more dirtied and decayed, and you can't really sometimes even read the names on there anymore. You can't really see what it's representing. You can't read the names. And you just... how much can we see God at work in you? How? There's a very old-fashioned word. We don't use it very often. Godly. Have you heard that word? It sounds a bit Victorian, doesn't it? But actually, it just means to be like God. To be like God. And it's quite a remarkable thing when you meet somebody and there's something just rather... reminds you of God. There's something about them. You feel the love of God when you meet them. You feel the warmth of his love when you meet that person. Who thinks that's a good person to meet? When you feel the love of God, you feel accepted, you feel forgiven, you feel there's grace there, there's wisdom and understanding, there's knowledge. That's a good thing, isn't it? To meet somebody like that. To be godly. It's like the brass has been shined up and buffed up, and you can see what is being represented. God is good, isn't he? God is good. When those wise men, and they knew a thing or two, I'm sure if they were looking at the paintings, they'd know the difference between which one is the best painting. Do you all agree with me, which is the best painting? When they saw Jesus, they adored him. They were wise men. They knew a thing or two. And they knew when they were experiencing something, it wasn't just a bit like God. It was God. God. That's why they worshipped him. They recognized who this was. As we read at the beginning of the service, that Jesus is the exact representation of God. It wasn't just their opinion. I'll tell you what Jesus said about himself. Maybe you think this is big-headed. Or maybe we just have to accept the fact that it's true. He said of himself, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. When you look at Jesus, you are looking at God. That's an amazing thing to think about, isn't it? He is perfectly godly. He is the image of God. Is the image of God. And what's amazing is nobody knows what he looks like. Now, I know you've seen all the films, and I know you've, you know, seen the little Sunday school books, and there's a chap with a beard, a little tubby round face with a beard, and all the rest of it. Let me tell you, I've been reading this book for the best part of 25 years, and there is nothing in here. I read it from cover to cover. There is nothing in here that tells me what he actually looks like. So whatever you see, whatever images you see, they are just people's imaginations, okay? People are allowed to have their imaginations, but that's all it is. We don't know what he looks like. We don't know what color of his skin, the color of his hair, whether he's big or small, fat or round. We know nothing at all, except for what really matters. Because, you know, in the end, those things don't matter. That's not what makes us in the image of God. It's not our features or our faces. It's what we're like. As people, it's our character, our spirit. And we know all about that with Jesus. We know what kind of a person Jesus is. And he is, in the word of an old hymn, altogether lovely. He is adorable. Jesus is wonderful. He's wise. He's courageous. He's strong. He's gracious. He's forgiving. There is nobody like Jesus in all the world. There's never been anybody like him. He kept all the commandments. We read the commandments, didn't we? The Ten Commandments. If you're honest with yourself, as I was reading the Ten Commandments, did you sort of think to yourself, I remember falling downstairs once. This is a digression. Have you ever felt falling downstairs? It's not very nice falling downstairs, is it? You like hit every stair all the way down. Sometimes when I read the Ten Commandments, it's like falling down a flight of stairs. It's like, ooh, ow, ooh, doo, all the way down the bottom, you know? I know I've fallen short. I know I've failed. I know I have not kept the commandments much as I would like to. But when I look at Jesus, he has. He has. It's not just that he dotted the I's and crossed the T's and thought, presented himself so everybody thought he'd kept the commandments. It's quite easy to fool people, isn't it? Religious hypocrites, there's plenty about. He really, really kept the commandments. And that's why he's so lovely. Because what are the commandments all about? The commandments are all about loving life. I think she's done very well today, that she's got this far through the day without bursting into tears. God bless you, Kaylin. She's a very good baby. Commandments are all about loving life. Breaking up people's relationships is not life, is it? It's not good. Stealing other people's property is not life. It's not good. Right? Telling lies is not life. It's not good, is it? Walking in the truth. Respecting other people. Loving God. Resting. You know, people who just work and work and work and work and never rest. That's not life, is it? That's not life. You've got to rest. You've got to enjoy life. That's what the commandments teach us. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you look at Jesus, you see him living life to the full. And I think all of us know, don't we, that we don't. Is that true? Is that true? We just don't live life to the full. In a way, if we go back to our portraits for a minute, it's like our lives are like portraits of God. We've sat down, maybe you don't even know who God is, and you've done this sort of like, what do I think God's like? I'll make my life like that. Or maybe you do know him and maybe know about him and you've tried to pattern yourself on him and you're trying to represent him in the world. But when you look at Jesus, it's like a self-portrait. He's not looking at God from the outside. He is God. He can tell you everything you need to know about God. It's like that painting there. Just look in his eyes. He's looking into himself. That's what Jesus does. He is the life. He is the life. So, we've all broken these commandments, haven't we? In might be big ways or small ways, and there's nobody's been exempt from that. And we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glory. I think that's true, isn't it? If we're being honest with ourselves, there's nobody perfect here. Now, and where does that leave us? This is what I want to come around to. Where does that leave us? Because this is so important for you as parents and for everybody else in all our relationships and our relationship with God. This is so important. So if we've all sinned and we've fallen short and Christ has done it, where does that leave us? Does he look at us with contempt and say, you losers, you failed, you're not good enough, you're weak? Is that how he looks at us? I'll tell you how he looks at us. And this proves who he really is. He looks at us and he loves us. He loves us and he loves us and he loves us. And loving us means forgiving us. He sees our faults. He sees our weaknesses. He sees our struggles and our shortcomings. And parents, yes, don't you see in your children their struggles? You just love them, don't you? You just keep on loving them. It's not always easy, but the love just keeps coming. It's natural to you. Sometimes it does break. We're frail. But with God, it never breaks. He just loves us and loves us and loves us again. And how do I know that? How can I be absolutely certain that's true? Because maybe you're thinking, well, you don't know me. And how can you speak for God? What do you know, whether God really loves me or not? And in a moment, I'll point you in the right way. Nice top, isn't it? That's all right. The reason I can tell you absolutely certainly about the love of God today is because of what happened on the cross. It's very hard to believe somebody loves you. I mean, sometimes, you know, do you really love me? Do you really? Do you really? You give me flowers. You're nice to me. You bought me a present. You give me, I think you love me. He died for me. He died for me. That's how great the love of God is. He's prepared to die in your place, to take the punishment that your sins deserve on himself rather than see you condemned and suffer. That is how great the love of God is. He loves us. We don't represent God perfectly, but he loves us because we are made in the image of God. I love this verse. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him, do you hear that? Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Life. What a tremendous gift. What a tremendous gift. And that's what the cross is all about. That's what it's all about. If I'd been asked to paint a painting of the Queen, and I'd done that, I'll be completely honest with you, I'd be a bit nervous about turning the painting around and showing her what I'd done. Because I wouldn't particularly want to see, if that was me, a portrait like that. Do you think that's a... Who thinks that's a good painting? Does anybody here think that's a really great painting? It's fine if you do. It's art's in the eye of love, like the eye of the beholder and all the rest of it. I'd much rather have a painting painted of me by Rembrandt if I'm given a choice. And Jesus is offering to go into heaven for you and speak to God for you and represent you to God and to be your representative there and be man in the presence of God and be for us God in the presence of men and to be the go-between between us. And if you'll trust him with that and you'll let him do what he is perfectly fitted out to do, you don't have to worry about what God thinks of you anymore. You can know absolutely certainly through the love of God that comes through Jesus Christ that your sins are forgiven and that you have a whole new life. Now, I don't know if I've made all these things that clear. I hope you've got something from what I've had to say. You have got a great task ahead of you. And there's going to be a lot of joy. And there's going to be a lot of forgiveness required as well. And teaching and encouragement over the years. And if you keep trusting the Lord God, if you keep trusting him and looking to him when you fail and fall short, and getting the grace that you need to live the life that you're called to live, you'll find that you're able to keep giving and giving and giving all the days of your life. We've got to keep forgiving, haven't we? Because we have been forgiven so much. I know that when I'm forgiven, I will shut up now. When I'm forgiven, it changes me. It changes me. When I'm accepted and loved, it changes me. And it changes me for the better. It changes me for good. And actually, without realizing it, as I receive the love of God, I end up becoming a little bit more like him. Because I pass that love on to others. Because when you've received something, you pass it on, don't you? You pass it on. So I encourage all of you to trust Jesus, to know his forgiveness, to know who he is, to put your trust in him. and bring up your children in all of these things. I'm going to lead us all into song now, which is again a prayer that's been sung out to pray for guidance. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I'm weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me in thy powerful hand.